Gruber Law Offices has been fighting and winning for people injured by big trucks for more than 30 years. We can help you from the safety and comfort of your own home. Our virtual sign-up process is quick and easy. One call, that's all.
Wooldy and Tausch. Eric Name, and it's our cousin sub of the day for Tausch. Cousin subs, we believe in better. He is in the One Call, That's All Gruber Law Offices studios at Radio City in Milwaukee. Jesse Nelson in the Park Bank ESPN Madison studios. And I am at the Ray Nitschke Field studios. 11 on 11 work now as practice rolls on practice day 3 of training camp. With some music blaring. I'm going to have to use Shazam tomorrow when I'm not on the radio to learn some of these songs. These are not in my musical wheelhouse, so I need to learn them. Jordan Love now under center on this 11-on-11 play that's coming up here. Eric, I want to go back to where we finished the 10 o'clock hour. If you missed any of the show, obviously you can catch all of it on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. That's where I got Sydney's appearance from yesterday so she could hear herself. She would like to be on longer next time was the review I got from her. So
tough critique, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, apparently I gave her the hook a little bit early.
You're the one to teach her about being longer-winded, though, in fairness.
That's true. If that's something that can be inherited, she's probably going to have it. That's why I cut her off. But, Eric, going back to your point, the James Jones point is a fantastic point, especially from a basketball guy, because he had okay production in Oakland, but he came back here, and he and Rodgers, like, the criticism of James Jones was that he wasn't able to get open anymore, right? He wasn't able to create separation.
Washed. He was washed.
Right, and that was what people were saying about Jordy Nelson at the end when he had to play. Remember, Jordy Nelson's last season in Green Bay was played primarily with who at quarterback? Brett Hundley.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even know.
Rodgers broke his collarbone. Remember, Jordy Nelson missed the 15 season. They were back together in 16. They go to the NFC Championship game. Jordy is vital, is the comeback player of the year. He plays extremely well. Rodgers starts the 17 season. They start the year 4-1. And Rodgers has clearly made Davante Adams the number one wide receiver. Jordy Nelson has clearly ceded that role to Davante Adams. And yet their offense is humming. They win on that last second touchdown to Davante Adams in Dallas, if you remember. Mm-hmm. So Jordy Nelson goes and he catches 60 balls in 2018 from Derek Carr. And he's okay, but you know he would have been more productive here. And you know he would have deferred to Davante Adams. And that's why it is the number one thing. Not because I like Jordy Nelson, but because I don't think there would be anything wrong with Goody saying, you know what? I believe in getting rid of a guy a year too early instead of a year too late. And I was wrong about Jordy Nelson, and he can't do it. And yesterday, when he was asked if he had any regrets about how he handled any players on their way out, he said, no, I don't have any regrets. And I can't stand when people claim they don't have any regrets, because that is just hubris if you can't acknowledge that you have a regret or two. We all have regrets. Now, off my soapbox, back to your James Jones point, because now Randall Cobb is here. And as he talked yesterday, it was interesting to hear, and I'm sure his take will not be particularly popular in the greater Houston area. But here is what Randall Cobb said about coming to Green Bay after having been in Houston and all the troubles that team had last year.
I can breathe again. I've seen the other side. And I'm excited to be back here, and I'm excited. I'm smiling. It's funny. My teammates say, you act like you just got out of prison. I said, well, I'm very, very, very excited to be here.
So the prison line was probably a little harsh for the folks in Houston, but
he got one heck of a laugh out of you. I could hear it on the playback.
Yeah, I think that's Aaron Nagler. I don't think that's me.
Oh, wow. I thought it was you.
So we have similar laughs, but yeah. I will say that I did laugh, and it was a good line. But again, he played with Deshaun Watson, who obviously is a terrific young quarterback, yeah. But in a new system, and he had 38 catches last year. I think that he'll probably have 38 catches this year, even if he's much further down the pecking order in their wide receiver room, and it's because of his telepathy with his BFF and quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Let's take another call here. 844-770-3776. Let's talk to John in Tampa. John, good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch. How are you?
Thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're good. What do you got for us?
Well, that's kind of my thunder right there. When I'm listening to that presser yesterday, all I'm thinking about is how excited he is to be in Green Bay. From the day before when Aaron was saying, you know, kind of things aren't the way they should be. And I'm listening to Aaron's, and it's pretty much a matter of opinion what I thought he was saying. And nothing was really fact when it came to that. So even the next day, here is Cobb going, man, this place is a breath of fresh air. My teammates are asking me, you're acting like you just got out of jail. I feel like he probably saw Aaron later, and Aaron was like, dude, why'd you say that after what I just said?
Now wait a minute, John. Wait a minute, John. Because if I'll let you complete your thought, but don't you think, because I'm watching Aaron Rodgers here at practice, and he's having a ball. He's having all kinds of fun. He's screwing around with his teammates, whatever. If we're gonna break this down as, well, Rodgers said, here are all the things that are wrong with the culture, and Randall Cobb, there's the horn early.
Hey.
And Randall Cobb is saying what a breath of fresh air is. Isn't it possible that actually proves Rodgers' point about the people, and that when you're with the players and the coaches and it's football, that's what is the breath of fresh air? You're playing for a championship contender with a great quarterback, with a bunch of guys you like. Like, I didn't think Rodgers was denigrating the culture of the locker room or of the players. He was denigrating how people were handled by the front office. I guess I don't see the correlation. And if you want to try and explain it to me more, go right ahead.
Felt like he didn't have anything bad to say about the Packer organization at all, whether it was players, locker room, front office, management. I just thought from his presser was, man, I'm just happy to be here because it's not a bad organization or a bad team or a bad locker room. You know,
yeah.
And sometimes when people are telling you that you're fired and you're going to move on, sometimes you can look back and go, I wasn't treated that well. Look, because it's probably one of the downest points of your life because maybe your professional career is over. Maybe it's not. You go somewhere else. But that can be a bad time when somebody's telling you, hey, your services aren't needed anymore here in Green Bay or Chicago or wherever. So that could be a lot, too, to go, you know, maybe that's why everybody felt so bad and felt like they were not sent out the door the right way because they were told they don't need to be, their services aren't used and needed anymore.
Yeah, I think I don't think there's any question that no one wants to get that news, and no matter how it's delivered, it's still really crappy news. I wouldn't disagree with that at all. Eric, what do you make of that idea, though? Because, again, the juxtaposition that John made, and thanks for the call, John, I guess I'm open to the idea that he's making a good point. I'm looking at Cobb and thinking among the reasons why he's so happy is because he's back in a place he spent 8 years. He's with Aaron Rodgers. He's with Davante Adams. And I don't necessarily think he's buddy-buddy with Brian Gutekunst either, who flat out said, if it wasn't for the quarterback, we wouldn't have been interested in him. Like, I don't know if those two are necessarily an apples-to-apples comparison in terms of views of this organization. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think with, you know, Aaron's complaints about, you know, how things were handled or how people were treated, I don't think that has a whole lot to do with the locker room, right? Like
right.
The Bucks are about to go through an offseason where Bryn Forbes is a free agent. Bobby Portis is a free agent. PJ Tucker is a free agent, right? One of those guys gets let go. And Giannis says, man, you know, I really wish whoever would still be here. I wish he would have been treated with more respect. That has nothing to do with what the locker room was this past season, right? That those two things are not interconnected. Like, the fun that they had this past season, the journey that they went through together, that remains unaffected. That is an off-court dealing about a contract. So then once they come back, you know, is the locker room different without one of those players? Yeah, I'm sure it is. But are they still able to have fun? Are they still able to enjoy it with the 11 other guys that were there last year? Yeah, I would think so. So I think that might be... I get the larger point, but I think those two things maybe are not super related in my mind. Like, I'm not surprised that Randall Cobb is having a good time in an organization where he's back with a bunch of people that he knows, despite being wronged by the team, or I should say, I'll put that wronged in quotes, right?
In his mind, right.
In his mind.
Or in Rogers' mind.
He was wronged by the organization. It doesn't surprise me that he can now have fun in that organization. Like, I don't see those things as interconnected, because one very much happens outside of the locker room, and then the other one happens inside the locker room, which, you know, if you spend enough time around professional sports teams, is, I should say, successful professional sports teams, that is a sacred place, right? Like, the locker room takes on this air of importance where you have to nurture that and you have to love it, and it is this very special thing where you're connected, and contract negotiations don't come into that. Like, you are just hanging out with your brothers, with your friends, with the guys that you are going to battle with every single night.
Right, and Aaron Rodgers last year looked extremely happy, and this year looks extremely happy, right, when I see him on the green grass of Reinitschke Field like I'm looking at him right now. That doesn't mean that all of his ill will toward the general manager has changed at all.
Right.
And I don't know about the triple horn now. That's a new one.
Yeah, a little three-bagger there.
I swear, if we don't... I shouldn't say we, because I'm not going to be here anymore. If you don't get horn guy for an interview, I'm going to be so disappointed in you.
Like, I don't even know where he is. Like, I'm looking around. Like,
this is the story. Like, all the details. What were you thinking when you did the triple horn? What does a double horn mean? What does a single horn mean? How long are you holding
day,
it?
Jason, just start walking around, find the horn guy.
There he is again.
Wow, that's like 5 in a minute.
He's playing to the crowd now. He knows we're talking about him. His ears
are
ringing.
Do you think he's like on top of the Hudson Center and sees me, and maybe is even tuned in on, like, maybe streaming on Wisconsin On Demand, and he knows that he's got to go early because there's a delay? Like, now he's just messing with my mind. And barring another horn, we will do your Q&A day text that we have been promising. Jesse's curated several of those that we want to get to. Those are next, and in 4 minutes and 49 seconds, get ready for the horn to go off. Of course, it'll probably go off early, which means it'll do so just as we're coming back from break. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
You're listening to Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Tito's Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Find recipes and learn about their story at titosvodka.com.
A parallel investigation. Eric Name wants me to find who is operating the Packers training camp horn.
Yes.
We also are going to need to investigate who has created at Packers Camp Horn on Twitter.
What?
Now, clearly, I'm a little worried, Jesse, that you're protesting too much. I'm not sure. Maybe it was Jesse who created it.
I'm not that clever.
But we're the only show that's live from the sideline, and his bio, with a great little, you know, cute little horn cartoon character, I'm putting my money either on the MVT, Matt Matt Kunin or the Clinkster up there in Canada A. But we now have
right on cue.
So good.
Packers Camp Horn on Twitter. At my end of the field, Jordan Love is running the number two offense. At the other end of the field, Aaron Rodgers is running the number one offense. So we've got two practices going on at once, essentially. But we need to get to some Q&A Day DeWitt Law Firm text questions, Jesse, that you've curated. We've been promising them throughout the show. Let's get to them now.
Yeah, I've got a few. But first, I want to ask a question, and it's about Jordan Love, because we haven't heard anything about him the last 3 days. You said it was 11 on 11 a couple minutes ago. Is he looking any better than reports were that he looked a year ago?
So here is my reservation about doing that, because if there was a play that has occurred while he has been down here with the number two offense, that would be worth mentioning. It was when he threw behind a receiver, it went off the receiver's hands, and it was intercepted. Now, that's the most noteworthy play that has occurred. Like, there haven't been any big positive plays. There haven't been any big negative plays other than that one. But you notice the significant plays, and it's unfair to Jordan to say, yeah, he threw an interception, because that play was not good. But that doesn't necessarily depict how he's practiced. You know, he doesn't look any different to me than he did in the mini camp. This is not full speed. This is not competitive 11 on 11 in pads. Obviously, quarterbacks still don't get hit in those. But this is at a slow speed. It looks like they're doing some installation work here. So it's not ultra competitive. But he did throw an interception a few plays ago. That was the one play that's really been noticeable so far.
How is he tossing it into the net?
I am at the opposite end of the nets, and I don't know when the last time was they netted, but this is really slow. Like, this is very slow moving. But hey, he just completed a pass in the left flat to Reggie Begelton. So there you go, a completion from Jordan Love. Let's get to the text questions.
Our guy Frenchie Gerriard in Canton, Ohio. Interesting question, as we were talking about the Goody Rogers relationship earlier. After all this coming out, ACR putting all those names out there, how do you think the upcoming reception will be for Charles Woodson coming back in a few weeks? Do you think the front office tries to really go above and beyond to show gratitude?
Boy, that's a really good question when you think about it, because Charles Woodson, who, you know, look, he's not going to want to spend his Packers Hall of Fame induction, nor his Pro Football Hall of Fame induction, which is what, next week? Talking about how he didn't like the way they got rid of him in Green Bay. Like, right. those are not the memorable moments you bring up when you're entering a Hall of Fame.
But I'd love to talk about the time. Yeah.
Unless you're Jordan.
Yeah, right. Michael Jordan will do it. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I would think that they would go above and beyond for him and Al Harris, especially considering their induction last year was canceled because of COVID. But no, like, do I think Goody's going to be up there? Again, Goody wasn't the one who cut him. Ted was.
Right.
But there's no doubt. Charles has talked about it. Heck, he talked about it after he was selected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame when he came on with Tausch and me and talked about how it ended here and how much he hated it and how he expected to finish his career here and how he would have taken a pay cut to do it. And Ted didn't even give him that option. So, you know, I think it's all about contexts and about the situation you're in at the time. I don't even know if I go to his press conference like I did with Tausch's when he went in and Tausch got all emotional talking about his dad. I don't know if I'm going to even pose the question about how you left here. I don't want to. I mean, that doesn't feel like. But again, I asked Randall Cobb yesterday how he felt about the fact that the GM wouldn't have gotten here if it wasn't for his quarterback. So maybe I will ask Charles.
But that wasn't a celebratory event. That was his first press conference back in this place.
Well, he was pretty celebratory. I mean,
understood
yesterday.
Understood, but as a reporter, I would feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm going to call Charles instead. I'm going to call Charles and talk to him now before the Hall of Fame stuff, so I don't have to ask him that question then.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
That, I mean, that feels like the right play, because in that moment, I would like to help the subject focus on the good
absolutely
and what they're doing. At least that's how I would handle it. I don't know.
Boy, these guys really screwed you at the end, didn't they? Hey, isn't it great to be going into the Packers Hall of Fame?
These guys suck, right? All right, so what did you think? No, yeah, you couldn't do that.
Jesse, what else you got?
Steve in Cambridge, 844-770-3776, asks, it seems like what Aaron Rodgers and others are saying about the Packers culture sounds like they are trying to be the Patriots. Wouldn't you rather have a front office try to be like the Patriots than like the Jaguars?
I want to field this one. Patriots are the ones to emulate. Feels like the relationship with Brady was pretty good.
Right. I would agree.
So as much as everyone wants to say like, oh, this is the Patriot way, if you're not producing, you're cut. That's cool. Right. That did happen. But also they traded for Randy Moss.
Right.
Also they kept Brady happy. They kept Brady involved. They kept him in the process. Before eventually they did push him out at the end. But for the most part, they kept him involved and they did some things. And if you've won as many rings as they have together, maybe that breakup isn't as bad as when you've won one, like you have in Green Bay. I don't know. To me, it just feels like, okay, well, whatever. This is all great. We already got however many championships the Patriots have. Fine, push me out the door. I'm going to go somewhere else. And then, oh, by the way, when I go that other place, I'm going to get to do everything and have all of my friends here. Like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like that. Doesn't feel like a fair comparison.
The other part of that I don't the text messages make it harder to explain yourself. So in fairness to that text, I would say this though, there are those, and hey, it's awesome to win six titles like they did in New England during the Brady era, right? The Tampa Bay one was his seventh. But there are plenty of people that played in New England who will tell you that it wasn't really all that fun to play in New England, right?
Right.
And so I guess I can't speak for NFL players, some who are wired to be hyper-competitive and serious all the time. I'm sure they would say, hey, I'm fine with that environment. But there have been players who have publicly, on the record, said, I didn't really have that much fun. And as I look back, I'd have accepted winning fewer titles to have a little bit more fun during my career. And so I don't know how Rodgers would compare the two, but let's be honest. They're having fun at practice now. There are obviously aspects to Aaron Rodgers' job that are not fun, and clearly those include his relationship with the general manager.
One more question here from Erica in Milwaukee. 844-770-3776. Wildy, since you're at practice, do you see ACR and Love talking, or Rodgers giving help, mentoring, showing tips, anything of that nature, as those two work together?
I do, quite a bit, actually. And look, none of us knows intent, right? No one can look into another person's heart and see whether or not their heart is in the right place on why they're doing something. So I don't want to sit here and extol the wonderful virtues of Aaron Rodgers and what an amazing mentor he is being to Jordan Love. But let's just be pragmatic about it. This is a guy who got treated like crap for 2 years by Favre. And then the last year, they became buddies. You know, they got along pretty well in 07. Aaron Rodgers would be the hypocrite of all hypocrites if, after being treated that way for 2 years by Favre, he turned around and treated Jordan Love like garbage, right? We can all agree on that.
Yep.
So if that's the case, you know, I would hope that he's never going to do that to Jordan Love. And it's funny because Matt LaFleur talked about that this very morning during his press conference. And again, skeptic would say, well, what's he going to say? Is he really going to step to the podium and go, yeah, it's clear that Aaron Rodgers just can't stand Jordan Love and wishes he wasn't here? No, of course not, right? But I think there is an authenticity to, I know how it felt. I don't blame this kid at all. And regardless of what his behavior might have led some fans to think, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is threatened by Jordan Love. I think he knows and believes in his competitive, crazy heart that he is better and will continue to be better. I think his issue is with the idea that the Packers will want to move on to someone who will be an inferior quarterback at the time they move on, while he still has plenty of football left. I don't think he's worried about Jordan Love being better than him. I think he's worried about the Packers wanting Jordan Love instead of him, and that's why he wanted the security that he was seeking from his contract.
I mean, that feels pretty human, man.
Right.
That feels pretty freaking human. Like, if I'm sitting here hosting a radio show, and I'm good at it, and you bring in someone that's bad at it, I'm going to be like, why did you do, like, what are you doing? I'm good at this. That person is not good at it. Why do you want this? Why do you want that person here instead of me? What is the reasoning behind it? Because we can both see the situation. One of us is good. One of us is not good. Why do you want this? Like, that, isn't that human? Like, I know that it's always Aaron Rodgers is this diva and he has this insane ego. That feels real human to me, man. Like, that just feels like what I would feel like if at The Athletic they brought in someone that I feel is an inferior writer. I would be thinking, why do you want this? Why are you doing this?
Right, and in fairness to Jordan Love, someday he might not be an inferior
right
player. Just like that person who would be the radio host or the writer would not be inferior. But as of today, and most likely as of the start of the 2022 season, he will be. That's just right. The most likely scenario. That doesn't mean he can't become a really good player. But as of now, he most likely is an inferior player. I know that's a mean word, but I think that's an accurate word. We'll get to Wonelly next. I'll head back to Lambeau Field as practice is wrapping up. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch. Out on the street, Jesse, so stop me from, you know, dump me like I'm saying swear words if I'm being inappropriate here, okay? So be prepared.
I don't know where this is going, but I'm nervous.
I don't know where this is.
It's true. So before we get to Feel Good Friday and Wonelly, so Tausch is on assignment yesterday, today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Steve the Homer True, scheduled to be our cousin sub of the day Monday, Tuesday on Wildy and Tausch, which is always fun when Homer's here. Like, I love Homer. We don't always agree. I do think he's a little bit crazy. I have not yet refollowed him on Twitter. I'm sure that breaks his heart since he follows like 19,000 people and is followed by 18,000. But that's neither here nor there. If I read the schedule correctly, Jesse, Wednesday is TBA as of now. We do not have a Wednesday cousin sub of the day. Is that true?
Yeah, we actually hired a new guy. His initials are TBA. And so we're going to...
I like him. Yeah. Or her. If TBA isn't available, is USA available? Is name... I just wanted to say this. I don't know if you're available on Wednesday, but I think what's really important is to ask people on live radio to do things. Hey, you want to stick around for another segment? Who's going to say, no, I've got to go? So if Wednesday your schedule permits, we'd love to have you back for one more day. You've been absolutely fantastic. This has been really fun. And if Tausch ever quits to become the deputy athletic director, let me know what your schedule is beyond Bucks games.
They're doing some maneuvering over in Madison. That might be coming sooner than you think. Like, I mean, that might be like a month away from now.
I hope you don't know things that I don't, because Tausch always accuses me of trying to get him.
Yeah, why are you trying to give him more jobs?
He always says that. I want to be clear. I don't want him to leave. Johnny Gray loves him. Johnny Gray would be really mad.
Right?
And so would I. We love him. I don't want him to miss time.
So we're about to get into the start of free agency. Moratorium ends on Monday. So we'll see. I need to consider this offer over the weekend.
Okay. Well, it does not make you the highest paid cousin sub in the league. But it depends on how you define highest paid, apparently, at least according to Goody. Jesse, before we do Wonelli, let's draw our trivia winner for this week.
Eric, have you ever seen my cheese fry helmet that we keep all of our trivia entries in?
I have not. This is wonderful.
Yeah. We got a lot of entries this week. I think the questions might have been too easy. Might have been too easy this week. So next week, if you're a contestant, you are going to be in for a treat. I have selected our name. Congratulations to Pat in Genesee. Yesterday's trivia contestant answering questions about different people named Rogers. Congratulations to Pat, this week's ESPN Wisconsin prize pack winner.
Michael Klink chiming in via Twitter. Sorry, Packers camp horn, isn't me. I wish it was, though.
Okay.
So the mystery continues. Who is... This is
okay,
much
okay,
like...
Honestly, I might... If in the next 24 hours, you can guarantee me that we are interviewing Horn Guy on Wednesday, I will be here. That is a guarantee from me. So if you can figure out who Horn Guy or Gal is in the next 24 hours and tell me, I will guarantee... No matter how many free agent deals the Bucks are making, no matter how many meetings Bobby Portis is taking, PJ Tucker, Bryn Forbes, whatever is going on, if you can guarantee me we have Horn Guy or Gal on the show on Wednesday, I will make sure I'm here.
I just want to be clear. I don't think Packers camp Horn is actually the person who is, in fact, pushing the button for the horn. So if I get either of these individuals, would that satisfy your requirements?
The better story would be if it was the person that's hitting
that's
the horn.
That's true.
And they're just living their best life for the next month.
I honestly promise Packers PR, I won't ask them anything other than the very specific questions about how the horn is used. Nothing more about how practices are run, who pays their bills, anything like that. I don't care. I just want to know the very specific details of what they are told about how to do their job and how to use that horn.
Well, if we get LaFleur on the show, we're not supposed to ask about his eyebrows, but we're definitely asking about the training camp horn. Jesse, time now for Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Wonelli!
On Wildy and Tausch.
All right, condensed version. I only have one question for you guys today.
Sorry, buddy.
It's MLB trade deadline day. And my pal, my friend, my buddy, Jeff Passan of ESPN, MLB Insider, tweeted, is 6:08 a.m. too early to take your first sip of Diet Mountain Dew for the day? Asking for a friend. So when I was growing up, my parents instilled a rule that if I ever wanted to drink a soda, a Mountain Dew, a Pepsi, that it had to be after, I think, noon. I wanted to say 11 a.m. I think it was noon. I had to wait till afternoon if I wanted to have one, and there were limits on how many I could have and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
How early is acceptable to drink a Pepsi, a Mountain Dew, a soda?
Jesse, before Eric answers, and I know your parents listen to the show, and I have the utmost respect for them, I just want to confirm, did they follow those same rules about alcoholic beverages?
Prior to retirement, yes.
Now, that's a good answer. Well done. Eric, what do you think?
So my household had a similar rule, not before noon. My dad broke it regularly because if you're out working and you're in the sun and you're tired and you need some caffeine, you have a Mountain Dew. That's just how it goes in the name household. So I think, honestly, when I used to fill in at this fine radio station for Chris Larson, who is a fantastic producer, but also works insane hours where he would show up at the station at like 5 in the morning, I would have, and this is before I'm now addicted to coffee instead, but I would have a Mountain Dew in the morning, maybe a Code Red to mix it up every once in a while, and I would drink it at 5 in the morning. So there's no too early. Clocks are just made up. They're constructs. They're social constructs that we don't need to follow.
Look, my coffee consumption, or more accurately, my creamer consumption, has been a discussion on this show many times. I did not need caffeine until I had children. And then sleep schedules, etc. I didn't need it in college. I didn't drink a ton of Diet Coke back then. When we had kids, I drank a lot of Diet Coke, and then Paula told me you can't be drinking so much Diet Coke, so I switched to coffee.
Yep.
But I don't drink soda before noon. I drink sparkling ice before noon, though.
Are you getting paid for that? You can't just be
as
getting...
he takes a sip.
Are you getting paid for that?
Smooth.
Come on, give it away for free, man.
You just did an entire commercial for handball.
I'm happily giving that away.
You were bragging about I'm an advocate. Not getting anything I'm from a, the U.S.
I'm a Team USA advocate. I'm getting that sense of belonging and community that me and Fayed teacher John clearly shared here on the show earlier today. So, and also, by the way, two follow-up questions from Jason Wilde. So it must have been working. All I'm going to say.
That is so embarrassing, and I've never... Well, I shouldn't say I've never been more disappointed in myself, because I've been disappointed in myself a lot. But it's the most I've been disappointed in myself all week. Feel Good Friday, presented by Holman Lindsay Paints and by Gruber Law Offices. We'll wrap things up for the week next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN, sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Mine is 5 plus 5, not a rocket science. This day and time, that's hard to find, it's true. The road we're on in a traffic jam. It's a
time for Feel Good Friday, presented by Holman Lindsay Paints and by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. It's been a feel good last couple of days to have Eric name as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Eric, you get to go first on Feel Good Friday.
I feel a little bit guilty because it's not, like, specific, but my friend at The Athletic, Sam Amick, wrote about the day after the Bucks won the championship. Him and I went out to brunch, and we happened to run into one of my friends, and we were at Uncle Wolfie's Breakfast Tavern, which is one of my favorite places in Milwaukee, yeah. And it turned into, like, a spontaneous celebration. Everyone just, like, enjoying their days, F-bombs, having a good time, gratuitous celebrations, and it was just a good reminder to me of why I think both you and I do what we do, Jason, that, like, there is this sense of community, there is this sense of, like, we are all in this together, and you can have those moments where the day after, you're still celebrating and having a good time, and it just, like, hit me in the feels. So that's all I got. It's not a thing, but it was a thing.
It was awesome to see, and obviously we saw it with our coverage of the parade as well. Jesse, I still want the regular old school dream drive back where kids' bikes are being used, and I know we can't do that yet because of the NFL protocols, but this is one of our favorite things. We're glad Dan Kelly joined us. We're glad to have it back. It's got a charitable component, but it was really good to see Dan Kelly and see at least some version of Dream Drive this week.
It was awesome seeing Dan, knowing what AmFam's doing with Dream Drive. It'll be back in full force before we know it. And there's a great contest you can check out, AmFamDreamDrive.com. Look it up. Your chance to win.
That'll do it for us this week. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.